talk about video games, movies, TV, comic book, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have podcast rate Jordan.
Hey, I support the machines.
Hey. And
podcast crooked Alex.
Yes. And
podcast more crooked Joe.
And special guests from another podcast.
Hello, I'm Chris. I'm also with the machines.
Hey, yeah.
Podcast right?
Podcast, yeah. I don't know my left from my right, Ted.
Yay.
Yay.
Hashtag support robot right?
No. You got to rage against the machine.
Hashtag ambivalent.
Oh.
Ted.
I'm Sweden. Hashtag
Sweden.
I'm Sweden. Until
you got
to
rage against
Hitler
the machine or embrace
decides
it.
To invade.
Hashtag he has an uncomfortable attraction towards machines.
Ooh. Well, there's that.
I've watched Rick and Morty. I know what happens when you do that. I am not going through that.
Oh, it's okay. It's the 21st century. We're cool with this stuff.
Yeah.
Aren't we? Yeah, we're cool with
that. I thought it was the 22nd century when we finally get cool with it.
No, I think we're ahead of the curve.
Oh, okay. And then there's me, Bill.
Just a Bill.
Yes.
Just a Bill.
So we skipped over something important with Chris. Chris, what podcast are you on?
I am on two different podcasts. I have a horror-themed one that I call Deeply Dapper Dispatches, and one that's a little more geek-themed called Robot Kraken.
Nice.
So,
and where can we find your podcasts?
You can find them on the internet, run by machines.
iTunes.
Yeah, I'm on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or you can just go to deeplydapper.com and stream them right on the site or download them.
I have to immediately ask, being interested in horror, do you like I Saw the Devil?
I've never seen I Saw the Devil.
You guys should watch that.
I Saw the Devil.
I Saw the Devil.
What is? Tell me more about
it. It's a Korean psychological thriller.
Yeah, I don't
Does
know. Would you consider
reading?
That horror?
No.
That's horrifying. The state man can descend.
It's more of a thriller.
Well, it's in the same vein of Silence of the Lamb. Is that a horror? Or is
it's a thriller.
I consider that
a thriller.
I think so or plural. There were multiple lambs.
There were
Silence of the
Isn't
Lamb.
Isn't that what I said?
Silence of the Lambs.
Lambs. Yeah, it wasn't just the one lamb.
Did I really? Lamb.
Yes.
I sometimes don't.
Captain Pronunciation mispronounced
the quiet of the sheep.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I enunciated.
Wait, you all shut up.
We're sheeple, not sheep.
Oh, like you is an EWE.
Yeah.
Oh.
That took way too long.
Yeah.
And in reality, probably like a dozen listeners were like, I got that joke. And everyone's like, it's like the rest of us. Like, wait, what?
I know.
Wait, you guys have more than a dozen listeners?
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hyperbole.
Yay. We're so excited. We like our listeners.
Yay. That's right.
So, I'm a listener.
Yes. Sometimes they join the podcast.
Yeah.
Sometimes they call in. And sometimes they email us.
Wait. They've called in?
Yes.
It's mostly breathing.
Do we have a phone number?
We do have a phone number.
Bill, I hate to break your dreams, but it's always been me. I just keep calling.
Is this one of those voice modulators?
You're practicing your voice acting from Comic-Con.
That's right. I've been around Troy Baker. It rubs off.
It's a Mrs. Doubtfire type situation, right?
Yes. Well, our phone number is 801-896-4335, or geek for the last part. And we also have an email, geeksarewired@gmail.com.
That's a Utah number.
Yes, it is. I admit, I tried for an Idaho number with geek.
Fun fact, it's also Utah email address. So you didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
Do you guys have some sort of shady apartment building somewhere in Utah where all of this stuff is being run?
Well, that's where the good taxes are.
Not as good as Oregon.
No, that's true.
They don't have any. No sales tax.
Yep, no sales tax. Just don't buy property
and
there.
And some of the lowest corporate taxes in the nation, too, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw a thing where people were complaining about it and wanting to raise it so they could pay their fair share.
Alex, how's the sales tax in Washington?
I actually haven't paid attention, but it's a lot higher.
Yeah, it's a lot higher. You want to live in Washington and then go to Oregon to buy. So just live on the other side of the Columbia there and just go back and forth.
It's like, I'll go to another state to buy my milk.
Yeah. Then you can pump your own gas in Washington.
Or go across the country border and Yeah, yeah, even less. Yeah. Yeah. Pay Canadian dollars.
Everything's like 25 cents cheaper.
That is my favorite culture shock of Oregon, was when we went to a gas station where there was people at every pump and there was one guy. And I remember just like fuming, because I'm like, I'm not a child. Just let me pump my own gas. Why do I have to sit in my car and wait for this guy to do it for me?
There's a dude in a rural gas station we went to on our first visit to Oregon like 10 years ago. And we've been tipping the dudes because no one tells what to do. So we're like, right. Oh, do I tip these guys? And all of them took tips.
Of course.
But but this guy came like, oh, I don't have any cash. What should we do? We have a banana. we for a while considered in this rural gas station out in the middle of nowhere, where there's one dude who's the only gas attendant, we're going to give him a banana.
That's amazing.
You know, that's funny, because I never even considered tipping when I've driven through Oregon.
No, I'd never tip them.
You
because
just we kept doing it until one of them acted weird about it.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom used to tip all the time, and I'm like, why are you tipping them? And she's like, because they're pumping my gas. And I'm like, they're doing that because we can't do it. It's
exactly.
Not like we chose to go to the only full serve station or something like that.
Well, that's true of restaurants, too. We're not allowed to go into the kitchen and get our own darn food.
That's true, but you chose to go to a restaurant with waiters. Well,
you chose
as
to go to a gas
food restaurant.
Yeah, but in Oregon, they don't give you a choice, though.
If you have diesel, you can pump your own.
If you're after 6 at certain gas stations, you can pump your own now, too. There's a new bill.
You have to wink.
I'm just a bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't in place when I drove through at night, not realizing. And like just barely made it where I was going. It said distance till empty 5 miles.
Nice.
What do they do to you if you pump your own gas?
They kill you.
That's right.
Because I was almost tempted to do that.
They put you in a wicker, man, that some other guy fills full of gasoline for you, and they light it on fire.
I just want to see horrified Oregonians that have never left the state, that they're just like, he's not specially trained. And I'm like, where I come from, I do this all the time.
Joe, you've heard of Jimmy Hoffa, right? That's actually what really happened to
him. So some dude pumps his own
gas. I'm pumping my own gas.
You know what they do when you pump your own gas? They say, you can't do that.
It's like, I need my unnecessary job.
Some dude from Salem rolls up to a gas pump, and he just like sits and waits next to like a Nampa gas pump, and he just dies in his car. He just doesn't know what to do. Since we're complaining bitterly about Oregon, should we maybe merge into a topic about something nice about Oregon?
Okay.
Rose City Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about a con that's not the one that shall go unnamed, and Salt Lake City Comic Con.
The largest, worst Comic Con in the country, and then Salt Lake City Comic Con, which is the greatest. But then there's this one.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So there've actually been two attendees of Rose City Comic Con.
Yes.
And this is my first year. Chris, have you been there previous years?
This is my second year as an artist at Rose City.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so one of you went as a vendor and the other one went as a average
plebeian
attendee.
Yes.
Garbage. Human garbage.
We did not dress up, Alex. What's wrong with you?
You didn't do any cosplay at all.
I did nothing.
Outrageous.
Jamie, I did nothing.
No, we thought about throwing together one of our lazy costumes that involves like jean shorts, and yeah, just didn't do it.
Can even be Ness, Alex.
I had everything I needed to go
going
as Ness.
Yeah,
an Alripist or something with the jean shorts. I want to know more about these costumes involving jean shorts.
I did briefly consider going as Tobias Funke, and it just did. Rest of development. Look it up.
Did you blue yourself first?
Seems required.
Left palm prints everywhere.
Hey, at least you would have gone and somebody would have known you. You know, when I went all dressed up, people were like, you look really nice with that tie and everything. Yeah, it's a cost. You know, what's with the white mask? Okay, never mind. It's Court of Bells. I don't know what that is.
Apparently, my propensity for going full dad mode with jean shorts and socks has led me to two costumes. Gene Belcher from Bob's Burgers and Ness from Earthbound. So I can reuse things I wear on the regular that Jamie just kind of sighs when she sees me wearing. not a good sigh. No, sigh.
Ooh,
it's you only get like 50 of these before we're no longer married.
She's got like 50 years to look forward to that. I've started wearing basketball shorts and cardigans like every day. Like that's my combo. She basically married a person that's like a 16-year-old cat. Like I just stopped caring. I don't go in the litter box anymore. That's just what I wear.
Lovely.
So with that great mental image, what was your experience from a table, Chris?
Rose City, I love that con. Like, this is the second year I've gone, and the thing I really dig about Rose City versus, like, Salt Lake City Comic Con is that it's a very heavy art and artist-focused con. Like, there's celebrities there, but people aren't necessarily there for the celebrities. Like, I usually, like, when I'm working Salt Lake City, I have people come by and, oh my gosh, I just met this person and this person and this person. Look at my photos. Whereas at Rose City, it's usually more like, Eric Powell. And I met all these artists that I'm super excited about. And so the vibe is very different from the two different cons. It's kind of interesting.
New York Comic Con's very much like that, too.
Oh, right on.
Where a lot of the artists go to that one compared to, like, San Diego's, where it's, oh, we're going to show you this preview.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Three people can see it.
Yeah, a lot of the cons have gotten so media focused that it's kind of cool to go to one with like Rose City, where it's a lot more of the it's still a comic con, I guess is the best way of putting it.
I'm glad you put emphasis on that word, because it's sort of, I mean, it's a kind of an afterthought anymore with like Salt Lake and San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always kind of like, I love Salt Lake City. I look forward to it every year. But every time I see them start to announce the guests and I see actor, and this one artist guy, and then voice actor. it's like, come on, guys, get some
year they're gonna have Ray Romano. It's like, right, I'm just counting down the cons till they actually get in there at Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Well, and that's where I used to do Wizard World all the time. I travel around and do cons as an artist, and I've stopped doing Wizard World last year because they started inviting guests like Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And the people that go to see him aren't necessarily the people that are like, oh, I'm also going to go to Artist Alley and pick up things.
They put you in an alley?
Yes.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
They charge you extra for the corner.
That's right.
They do.
Mm-hmm. So how was your experience at Rose City?
It was pretty good. You pretty much mentioned all the same observations I had. It's very artist focused. I think probably a lot of the artists maybe roost in Portland. Emerald City, I've heard, is kind of a similar deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you're a comic book artist, you have to go be artsy fartsy in Portland or Seattle.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, there's a difference between there wasn't like a huge difference between like con goers, other than just like the things they're carrying to be signed weren't DVDs. They're more comic books.
Right.
The vendors were kind of about the same stuff you have at Comic Con. This one had fewer swords than Salt Lake City does.
How about mystery boxes?
This one had a mystery box, and you had no clue it was in there. There's no other merchandise of this vendor to indicate what they had.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, you could have been opening up full of cottage cheese.
Was it worth
you have no clue what they were selling.
It was worth $100, though, right?
Oh, they assured you. It's about $6 trillion.
Exactly.
Are you saying you didn't buy one?
No. I thought the box is cool. I didn't want to know what was in the box.
But I like cottage cheese.
Yeah, $100 worth.
Just flip it open, some room temperature cottage cheese.
Yeah. The mystery boxes are a bane of mine. I can't stand going to these cons and seeing walls of mystery boxes. Mm. But they have been getting very creatively decorated lately, which is impressive. But
well, yeah, like the box you would want instead.
Right. Yeah, I saw someone that had, they were actually comic book long boxes that were decorated like the mystery machine. I was like, that's really clever because it's usable after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
At least you know you're getting a $40 long box to put your comics in.
And that's not a terrible price for them, you know, because right. I think I picked up these for like $25 from Hastings.
Oh,
because
because
they're closing.
Yeah.
That's a different story, though.
Right.
Now I'm sad.
Sorry.
We could talk about it.
Well, you want to talk about the Hastings con?
It's probably my fault. I go in there all the time, never buy anything.
Well, maybe it's because
we did drop like $250 the last time we went in, but it was already too late.
I know. I like used stuff. I would get good books and stuff too. That's what I really liked about them too. But I don't blame you, Ted. I like buying all my music and stuff too, because this isn't a music thing too, but really at my heart, that's what I care about more than anything. And so I go into there and I have a hard time buying a $30 vinyl that I can get for $17.
Yeah, but exactly. Why would you buy vinyl anyways?
Because it's awesome.
Because you like to hear crappy, distortion, and horrible theater music.
Ted.
But do you have a record player?
Do I have a record player? No, but my co-host on Deeply Dapper Dispatches is very heavily into vinyl.
You know, I can write some code that'll put static on your music if you want. You can listen to an iPod with static.
Are you legally allowed to listen to Lou Reed on a non-vinyl?
It is true. Some music. I'm not saying you buy everything, but I listen to my screamer thrash like 70s 80s punk music on vinyl, and that is the best way to listen to it.
You should also listen to Deadmau5 on vinyl.
That's what I mean. You don't do your dubstep on vinyl, but yeah, when it was recorded in just like a tiny someone's friend's basement anyways, you need the terrible sound. It just adds to the charm.
What, like, are you saying that the only way to listen to the Violent Femmes is on vinyl? Is that what you're telling me? Because I'm pretty sure that's where they recorded all their albums.
Or in a parking lot.
And
somewhere.
Those are amazing. Those are amazing digital. I don't care what you say.
Well, they're, I don't know, they're a little more highly produced. That's fine.
Good songs will always be good songs. Yeah. But
Adam and his package?
I'm talking about, I bought Bad Brains. That's the latest one that's coming in there, too. And that is pretty much just people screaming in a club in Washington, D.C.
That should be the show title. People in a club screaming in Washington, D.C.
I like that.
Yep, totally putting it down now.
So, yeah, Hastings, sad. It's closing. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Do you guys want to cover Rose City?
That leaves us with like zero bookstore. Oh, well, I guess there's a Barnes & Noble in Idaho Falls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they got one of them. You go and peruse their Hastings-like front area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, once upon a time we had Walden Books. But
I remember that. Yeah, that's where I bought my first comic book that I paid attention to as a comic.
No kidding. Yeah,
I was super sad.
We used to have a visiting author, Brandon Sanderson, who's our only author. He'd go to Walden Books and tell... He was forced to go to the furniture section of Fred Meyer's.
That was sad.
I feel like David Farland was there one time, too.
It wouldn't surprise me. He shows up at Salt Lake Comic Con.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently, actually.
I think he lives in the area. Or flies in on a Griffin or something.
I'd like to believe the latter.
Yeah, I don't... did you see any of the celebrities at Rose City? Did you go see any of them?
I didn't actually like... talk to them too much, but I waited in line with Jamie to go see Kelly Sue DeConnick. She is the author of Bitch Planet.
Yes.
And we got to meet her other half, Matt Fraction, the author of Hawkeye, and also the Hawkeye reboot. They just put an omnibus out for that. I think it may have been like a year ago.
Is that
they put
his
it out.
Real last name? Matt Fraction?
Yeah, Matt Fraction.
Yeah, it's an amazing name. That he's really cool, too.
He's destined.
Matt and a half.
Yeah, we got to talk to him after the con for a little while. We just met him packing our crap out to the thing. We saw him carrying a big stack of Hawkeye stuff. We're like, you're Matt Fraction.
That should be a Schwarzenegger name instead of John Matrix. It's Matt Fraction.
Was he a nice guy? I heard he's
he was super
ridiculously nice.
He's a little kooky, but that's to be expected, I think.
Yeah.
he actually when he signed Jamie's omnibus of Hawkeye, like he actually like doodled an arrow going into the the target on the inside cover page. He's like, there now, no one can tell you I'm not an artist.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, that was one of the things I did like about Rose City. When you're wandering the floor there, you just run across like luminaries of the comic industry. They don't have them all in their own separate section. A lot of them are on the end, but like you'll be walking and be like, Howard Chaykin, it's Mike Mignola, and they're just kind of mixed in with all the average Joes for the most part, which I think is kind of cool. Because I'm an average Joe.
Joe is literally an average Joe.
Exactly.
I think you're above average.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. Yeah. Brown eyes, brown hair. Seems pretty average to me.
He's 79% Joe.
I'm the average Joe.
I mean, your teeth aren't like crooked. They're not straight. They're not super white.
I know.
Like, yeah, no, you're pretty average. I never thought about it.
Yeah, I have to wear glasses.
For what's worth,
but they're not
the
like
Joey
thick
now.
Glasses.
Exactly.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with being average. I'm the average Jordan. It's fine being average. It's like, I'm
Ted,
not movie star Jordan.
You should look up. There's an end of a stand-up special with Jim Jeffries, and he talks about how like 80-90% of the world is the 5 to 7, the average, and then he does the play on the 8s, 9s, and 10s, and then all the bottom people after that too, and it's the best thing ever.
It is a great stand-up. Because
he's basically doing your end too. He's like, I'm a 5. He's like, I got teeth. They're not straight, but they're not missing. 5. I got hair. It's crappy hair. 5.
That's right. He's like, you know how I know I'm a 5? People walk by me and nothing happens.
Exactly. They don't turn their head to look. They don't turn there in disgust, but they don't go, oh, it's like 5. There you go. Yeah.
It's
pretty entertaining.
All right. So we're going to move on to other news.
Okay.
Because everyone was rating their, or saying they were pro robot rights or not.
Yeah.
So we're going to start moving into some of that.
Oh, there was a reason for that?
There was a reason. Yeah.
It's the last half of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, really.
I don't know. 3/4. Ish. So new on the show notes was Walmart apparently is getting self-driving shopping carts. You don't even have to push your cart in Walmart.
No, that's not entirely true. So what it does, I think it was on Ars Technica, I read an article, and they're getting little, they just put in a patent for it. So, but you get a device and it will call an empty cart shopping cart to you, so you don't have to go around looking for them. And then when you're done, it will automatically go back to the place where it's supposed to go, to the trolley place.
Only hit 5 cars on the way.
And then it's supposed to...
Can you put a baby in it?
It's supposed to measure like the idle time of the carts and give them more analytics, I'm sure, about how people walk through their store and things like that. But I just thought it was pretty cool. It was kind of unclear whether they were going to be like, maybe you could have a smartphone app, or maybe there was like a device you had to buy, or... like you could have it while you were in the store.
Had they
exactly
put themselves
clear.
Away too?
Yeah, they'll put. So when you finish, you just do something, and they'll go back to the.
So
back to wherever they come from.
My question with this is: when the homeless people steal them, and is it going to track their sleep quality or something?
I know.
I don't know.
Or they'll just wake up in the bin at Walmart. They'll just return home.
or when they leave the parking lot, do the wheels like lock up? The battery dies.
Yeah.
The wheels lock up.
I was wondering if the jackass guys like umped in one and took off across the parking lot.
Oh, yeah,
if you'll just keep going and push them out into traffic,
exceeding speed.
No, yeah. Just like stop. Suddenly throw them, eject them out of the cart into traffic.
Like that, that's how they kill Bam Margera. Just like a self-driving shopping cart, just push them out in traffic and like in front of a semi and just into it repeatedly and stuff until it can't move anymore.
But I could see them totally using the app because Walmart has an app right now. You put your credit card into it. You can actually, when you're checking out, instead of putting your card in, you scan this RFID code with your Walmart app and you can pay through your phone now in the Walmart app.
Fancy.
Yeah, so I bet you could call your cart when they finally do it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be the only one who has visions of Wall-E from this. This is where it starts, at first in the shopping.
You think this is where it started? I've had a Roomba for like a decade now.
That's true, but the lazy person just kind of hanging in their mobile, their vehicle, I guess.
Just send your cart in, have it drive around Walmart. That. You don't even have to enter Walmart now. You just tell the cart, okay, go there. Run into the shelf. Okay, great. Fell in. Just driver.
Yeah.
Constantly wired in.
I know. That seems super expensive.
Well, it was just a little unit that would just go right onto the normal ones. A little circle. It looked about Roomba size, but
like
taller.
Like a lock-on,
yeah,
like a
and
cybernetic
it, like,
attachment.
Yeah, and it goes right underneath the, you know, you got the rack at the bottom of the cart where you usually put like water or beer or whatever. Depending on what kind of a person you are.
Yeah, that's true.
All the Coke.
Mine is dog food.
That's right.
Usually.
All the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, so it goes underneath that, and it's just this big round unit that has a couple wheels on it that will...
And it
like,
just goes around.
Yeah, just takes
RoboCart.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it. I personally think that Walmart is the devil, and I never shop there if I can help it.
Yeah, I don't like Walmart.
But, you know, innovation comes from all over. So
I got used one of those the other day. Someone abandoned the Safeway cart in front of my house, and it stayed there for like a week, and someone kept pushing it into the trash corral, and the garbage people push it back out. And they push it back in. So finally, I helped the little cart get home to the Safeway, so I was having to push it up the street, and all these cops are in this Mexican restaurant watching me push this cart down the sidewalk. Just sipping their Cokes.
You
like,
should have taken your bags
nice.
Of laundry out first.
take a garbage bag out. There's probably one of those in there.
They're like, man, our homeless people are getting so much better looking.
I know.
I think it's a basketball shorts and cardigan day.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
It's retired on the top and unemployed on the bottom.
I think they were probably like, well, did he go to a laundromat and steal the first thing he found?
I know. He just reached in.
His shopping cart is empty.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just starting out.
Yeah. He hasn't had this figured out yet. He bottomed out, but he hasn't like stayed there for very long.
He parked really far from the entrance to Safeway.
Okay, but you also you're talking about the analytics. So there's the theft automation for the cameras that watch you in stores are starting to get better.
Yeah, that's
better.
Trippy.
So they can... this is actually... I've heard of them being better than what this video has, where it can actually tell that you're looking at things. And they start going, okay, you've stopped in front of this product. It looks like you're looking at this. Oh, I also recognize your face. We put you into the system. Because Amazon, who probably basically should buy out Hastings because they're the same thing, right. But brick and mortar, is talking about making brick and mortar stores and putting stuff like this in. So they see you walk in the store. They put your information into the system. They know where you're generally going to go. They can tell if you're going to steal something.
Crazy.
They can tell what you're going to buy. They... guide you. They push notifications to your phone.
Facebook already knows who everybody is.
Yeah.
Like they
generally.
You know,
yeah.
Do you want to tag?
Base, yeah.
Do you want to tag Bill in this picture?
True.
No. You look like you already did it. It's fine.
Google does the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
So, and I'm sure that they. You know, I don't know that I haven't read the terms and conditions. So they may be selling my picture to everybody, just
they
saying,
could.
"Hey, if this guy walks in your store, this is the sort of things that he likes. You probably should ask him to leave."
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing they could do too, if they really get smart with that, with recognizing you and what you're looking at and who you are, they can be like, oh, they picked that up and then they put it back on the shelf. Let's text them a coupon for that item right now and convince them to take it back.
You
off
don't even
the shelf.
Have to pick it up. You stopped in front of this thing and you're looking and
right.
Hey, you pulled out your phone. Oh, we know what you're doing. You're probably price checking or
price
doing
checking.
Something.
Oh yeah.
Let's make sure to quick competition. Okay, here we'll make sure to beat everybody.
What if this like that that scene in The Warriors? Like you're a regular shoplifter and you go down to your aisle where you're gonna steal your 6-pack of beer. And then, like, a couple of the self-driving cars just show up at one end of the aisle. They block it off.
Oh, no.
You turn to go back the other way. There's self-driving carts behind you on the other side.
Right.
And they just very slowly start driving toward you. The lights shut off, and then you hear loud screams as your organs get popped between the spokes of the shopping carts.
Welcome
shop cart full of organs.
Shopping mall.
Yeah.
Coming to you, 2018.
Alex, that's
man.
How I view it.
I'm 100% okay with that.
Kickstart it.
So what, mad billionaire movie money? You just make a movie, you'd remake Maximum Overdrive, but in a Walmart?
And it's just a bunch of people trying to survive after they start stealing stuff.
Emilio Estevez finally has another career. It's in Walmart.
There's a old horror movie called Chopping Mall. We could do Chopping Mall 2.0.
Yeah.
It's sad when they build a whole movie around a pun.
Yeah, right.
That would be awesome. That would be like Minority Report. The carts are punishing you before you did. They're like, we know you wanted to steal. That's enough for us to murder you.
As soon as you walked in,
we're taking you away.
The carts start following you.
The robot loss prevention will show
quit
up.
Quit profiling me, robots.
We scanned your pants, decided that your wallet didn't contain any cash or credit cards.
Exactly.
And therefore, you're not intending to buy anything.
Yep.
But your pockets
so
are large enough to contain 7 candy bars.
Yes.
And based on your weight, that's a fat suit.
Yeah.
We weighed you coming in.
Yeah, that sensor, the door up front, yeah, it did not have any trouble with you, big boy.
That
you
said,
take the fat suit off.
We are going to chase you for a few minutes so that you lose some weight that you constantly lose.
You are 2.5 pounds heavier than when you came in.
Bill, all that stuff must have been borrowed from like casinos because I thought they already did that too.
Well, at least
far as being able to watch in the facial recognition and all of that type of stuff,
or at least
too.
According to movies about
casinos.
That's
but
TV shows.
Yeah,
I'd believe it though.
I loved Casino, the TV show. It's like, all right, zoom in now, spin the picture around.
Right.
What?
I know. It's
yeah,
like, you can't
what
do
was that?
That?
Las Vegas or something
yeah,
like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you got enough cameras, you can do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they didn't act like they were changing cameras. They just acted like they had one camera.
Right. They can rotate
was
it.
Amazing.
Make that guy lift his arm up.
Yes.
No, but I mean, they can. You can take a picture of something, and there is software that will let you, that will build a 3D object of that of that thing. So you can take a lamppost, and it will derive enough information just from a still picture to give you a 3D manipulate. Mm-hmm. Of that object, and sometimes it messes up and gives you these weird gaps and stuff. Like you take a picture of a pipe and it doesn't know that the pipe part's supposed to be hollow, but it can give you the 3D manipulation and just extrapolate what's around there. So I can see
have
if,
a big problem
have,
with lampposts too.
Well, I mean, they have a million cameras, so they got a picture of you for at every angle.
Yeah.
I don't know what the practical application of such a thing would be, but
exactly, it's possible.
Sounds like something I'd like to work on, actually.
Yeah. That sounds like fun.
Tell us the next thing I'll write a screenplay around.
All right.
Yeah.
How about... Okay, so back on the cart, remember them where they were just this thing that you added onto it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Uber is now adding the thing onto their cars. So we talked about self-driving Ubers before.
Right.
Well, they're out there now in Pittsburgh, and you can ride in them for free.
Just to test it out.
I don't know how I feel about that.
There's a driver making sure everything's...
So they actually have a driver in the seat, but the car drives itself.
Correct.
They're just there, kind of like the Google cars were with their laptops.
They're like the student driver teacher.
I'm having my moon landing conspiracy theory. Yeah. Like, are they really not driving?
They're like, I just have to feel the wheel to make sure that it's going. But I swear the car is doing it. I'm not pressing. I'm making sure the pedals are working.
My feet just really itch, and these pedals are great for stretching them.
So what was that Family Guy that they went to the future and they had the self like all cars became self-aware and like Peter insults one of them and can't get a ride for like the rest of the episode until he apologizes.
The plot in Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is.
maybe that was it. That might have been it. Crappy movies and TV shows.
Yeah,
that's right.
Like merge in my head. It's a scary thing. You know.
Yeah, as someone that travels a lot for my job going to and from cons and stuff, I'm all for the idea of self-driving cars, but they would have to improve the road quality dramatically for those to really be useful, I think, because they use a lot of like notes off of the lines and that kind of thing.
And, well, there's that, and Tesla is making they're inventing theirs because they ran into an issue where the front camera came up to a white truck and thought it was the sky.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. No.
So they're changing away from cameras and they're going into...
sonar?
Yeah, sonar.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that it doesn't see our mountain range on our license plate. And they're like, let's go!
That was also an issue with one of the Teslas that ended up like getting into a wreck. It ran into a trailer. And I think it like sheared the top half of the car or something like that.
Well, they're not going to change.
It misidentified the vehicle.
Yeah, they said that they're just updating their system or upgrading their system.
I think would be like a combination of the things. Yeah. I mean, like if you study nature, like bats can see and they actually do tend to prefer their eyes to their sonar, even though their sonar is way better. So they will run into windows repeatedly, like certain types of bats. But they'll run into the window because...
Well, the bat's like, use your sonar, Jerry.
It's like, I don't like it.
They're like, there's something there, but I don't see anything. It must just be, you know, something.
My sonar's on the fritz.
Yeah.
Thunk, 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 thunk. So...
Yeah, I don't know why you'd go rogue. If I had echolocation, I'd just be about that exclusively. It'd be pretty awesome.
Maybe it makes your throat sore.
That's right.
Constantly
don't
screaming.
Don't have the cough drops.
Well, you also miss things, depending. I mean, because they make, the stealth bomber is built on the fact that certain shapes evade
these
waves.
It doesn't reflect it back to her.
Yeah,
it reflects it off.
Yeah, it reflects it away. So it's basically invisible to that sort of thing. So, I mean, there are limitations to all these things. So, if they went completely sonar, then they'd be, maybe
the
Chevy
cars,
comes up with this completely square truck.
Like I say, the old 1950s.
The Cube.
And...
the cube 2.0, yeah, right? You know,
the toaster.
And, hey, I drive an Element. So,
well, no one's perfect.
Yeah.
We just need to train bats to drive the cars.
I know.
Let's go Flintstone style. It's a living. You have to get Jerry as your Uber driver. He just runs into stuff all the time.
Yep. Actually, we're getting closer with the Internet of Things houses. All these appliances doing their thing, watching what you do and judging you.
Yep.
It's becoming a thing.
I used to brush my teeth naked in front of my Nest. I always worried that Google was watching me.
It totally was.
Yeah.
It judged
the
you.
Toaster.
Yeah.
No, it just took pictures and put it on 4chan.
Bill, so what do they do with the cars when they break down, though?
Well, there's obviously a driver in it, so they can.
But I mean,
call.
The plan is to get rid of drivers.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Well, they would still be, you know, since they're hooked up to some network, they'd have to
send off a GPS
to go pick up somebody.
But how are they? Are they just gonna? That's the thing. I don't know how like a machine can be programmed to be reliably safely get you off to the thing too when it totally breaks, because most things
you
that I have that break just break.
But I mean,
a mechanical breakdown, that's the thing, is that you can slap it in neutral and slide your car over there because it has certain things too. So everything's automated
blue screen,
and you can't grab anything.
If your car blue
up,
screens,
yeah, then
there'll
it's
just
like,
be a little plate on the inside that'll be like, if your car is heading towards a cliff, please dial this number now.
Well, actually, that was the other cool thing, because you can see, as the passengers in the back, you can see what the car sees. So there's a video in front of you.
But can you control, like, that's
they're
going to
let
I
you drive
know.
Their cars, yeah.
No,
I don't think you could drive their car.
What does it do if it breaks down, though?
So what, like a mechanical breakdown, that means the software is still running. So it just goes, hey, I need another car to pick up this guy. And I need the machine to come pick me up and take me to the shop.
What if it has a breakdown like on a
like a major
bridge?
One. Yeah. Or you're out in the middle of nowhere.
There's no shoulder.
People break down already in those places.
Yeah.
No, but that's you're driving your own car, though. That's what I mean. Like my car, because I had.
It's safer in your car. Stay in the car.
Yeah,
no, I mean what the vehicle, because that's the thing, is that if it's broken, how does it, like, it just feels like it's more complex for it to, like, safely get you from going, like, I'm saying you're going 80 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Boom. Like,
boom,
computer's
what?
Out. The computer's out. Like, it's just done. And then it's like, oh, but somehow it has the powers to, like, safely guide you through Salt Lake traffic and get you off to the
side.
Okay,
so you're saying
like,
the
then
software.
Is it really broken?
The software breaks, not the hardware then.
That's
it
what
doesn't
been
matter
saying.
Anything. Yeah.
Well,
just,
the thing, like,
I
would think, like, you know, these people have to think about all the consequences of what's going on. And I'm sure that they've thought about this, but it seems like a redundant system that's separate could take over at that point and just put it at the side of the road and just sit there, right? Slow down as best possible, put on the blinkers, put it to the side of the road, and then just call for help.
Or
and then lock the doors and say, stay in the car.
I know.
Or they could be just like modern car makers. Well, we lost one car and killed three people. We'll pay out to the family. That's okay, because current car people or makers that we drive their cars do that.
That's true.
Yeah, but
so you're
Tesla. I mean, they do, sure, but Tesla's been really good about it. Like, they had one car start on a little bit of fire and burn to the ground, and they did stuff about it. So
that's why I like Tesla over.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Everybody else.
Of course, they do make a lot less cars than the other people too,
and
so
they cost quite a bit more.
Yeah. A lot.
That's me.
Fewer cars.
I don't understand what you're trying to say to me.
I'm doing my Stannis Baratheon, grammatically correcting.
So I thought my I got my screenplay.
Okay.
Instead of your Uber driver, driver sexually assaulting you at gunpoint, a Jetta does. Just gun pops out of the glove box. Like, well, wasn't expecting this.
Wait, you wouldn't have to tip him though.
No, you like you could like you could like really vote him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a clever programmer would be like pop open a little thing. Tips appreciated. It just pops out. You put a tip in there.
Would you really tip?
Some people would.
An empty car.
I think so.
Tip an empty car.
You're tipping
the
programmer who's
running
your car.
Sometimes I go to fast food places. I go to fast food places, and they have a little thing for tip on their credit card, and I'm like, they didn't do anything more than any other fast food place, but there is a place for a tip, so...
That is an ethical dilemma.
That's really confusing when you go through a drive-thru and there's
just a guilt complex there.
Well, I don't know what to do.
I know. City of an
I'm going to put zeros and look at him and be like...
You give him a banana. You reach down, you grab the banana. You give to your gas pump attendant.
In the metropolis where there's just an AI-dominated labor system, do you tip the labor? It's all robots... And you're like, I feel sorry for you. You're the working man.
You don't tip the robot.
You don't?
No.
But they have feelings.
You just squirt some oil on their joints.
Exactly.
You just here's a little lube for
Here's a battery. Here's a double A, buddy.
That's right. You can charge up on your downtime.
Yeah, don't use the extra energy all in the same place.
That's right.
Don't we already went over this, too? I'm going to be the old man. It's not being racist, but whatever you... Wait, you have
it's
to new turn.
Racist.
No, I mean, but for the robots.
Yeah.
That'll be me. I'll just be horrible to them all the time.
Okay, so I understand trepidation about
spit
the...
oil in my coffee.
What if ironically Joe causes Skynet? Just be like, screw it, we're killing them all. Like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. It was Joe.
Yeah. So you don't have one of those... Animatrix? It is the people who are giving out abuse and then... The robots would have been satisfied otherwise, but people were like, we hate you robots, and throwing bricks at them.
I know.
They're
that's
like,
what
we
I
need
would
to
do
something.
But, I mean, you got to wonder, these stories are at the point of view of who's the heroes in these stories? So if the robot's the hero, can you really trust the narrative?
Exactly.
Right? Because it's from their point of view. Maybe these people were just having a place where they were like fixing the robots up, but it looked like they were destroying them because they were using welding machines and grinders and stuff like that. But they were just fixing them. They were just trying to help them. The robots are like, that looks like
people are not good. People are abusive.
Well, you aren't. I mean, we know this.
I'm totally abusive. I'd abuse my robots. I'd feel guilty about it, but I'd slap them. Yeah.
I'd abuse my robots is my next screenplay I'm working on.
Exactly.
It's actually not a screenplay. It's a pitch for a game show.
No, that movie already exists. Called Westworld.
I know. I was going to say.
Exactly.
Bill, I would be a clientele there. That's the only way I like robots is if I could go to a place where I get to shoot them in the face. I would be a Westworld
every
client.
Every day.
Yeah.
The same robot. Honestly,
exactly.
I was a little confused. I wasn't sure how I felt about Yul Brynner's robot because I was like, hey, you are a giant a-hole.
Yeah.
You deserve to be shot. But there's a point when suddenly... No, you deserve to shoot these people.
It was the virus that infected him. He went rogue.
So,
he didn't really
No. They said cold. They got a cold.
So where did you see this movie?
Ended up downloading it from Vudu.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You can also, it's on Amazon.
70s, yeah.
That was,
yeah, you can get the original. We're talking about the Michael. This is going to lead
Michael
to other
Crichton.
News, but we're talking about Michael Crichton's Westworld. You can get it on Amazon, apparently Vudu. And it's a good watch. It's like, if you like the original Terminator, I think you'll really like this.
Honestly,
it's like 80-something minutes. It's really short, too. So.
And I got because of T-Mobile's Tuesday free. Yeah. They're like, hey, have a free rental. But I think it's a better Jurassic Park than Jurassic Park.
he did rip himself off.
I think that's solid.
Yeah.
He totally ripped himself off.
I know, yeah.
So I'm having that experience when I realize for like the fourth time during the podcast that I have no idea what the rest of you are talking about.
You've never seen Westworld?
No.
It's going to be a new
so
HBO
here's, here's
show.
The synopsis. Yeah. Westworld is one of four zones. Three
it's
zones?
Three.
Yeah,
only three.
Yeah, it is three zones. Three zones in this amusement park that is, they're basically just fakey replicas of a medieval era, a Roman era, and the Wild West. And
thank
tourists
you.
Go there.
Say, what's the third one? I knew the medieval one. The Romans.
Yep.
And it's named Westworld because most of the stuff goes down in the Wild West world, and they're populated by basically real world NPCs. They're robots. Mm-hmm. And tourists will go there and they can act out their fantasies in basically a sandbox
like
world.
The
reality.
Okay Corral or
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. And there's like things like there'll be like bad guys that try to start stuff with you and you can shoot them. And it's like totally safe. Like all the props and stuff won't work against humans.
Yeah.
And Michael Crichton does the same thing Asimov did. He came up with safeguards and then figured out how to break them. Mm-hmm. And that's like the linchpin of what went wrong in Westworld. And it's really ahead of its time, kind of like terrifyingly so for something that's produced in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really good. Basically, one of the robots gets a cold and he ends up basically stalking his tourists and trying to kill them because he's programmed to try to kill them, but he can't.
He's the bad guy. Already.
Yeah.
But he actually like eventually like figures out how he can kill them. And like he actually like he works the robot works around his own safeguards just so he can kill these two guys that had killed him previously.
Mm-hmm. Like daily for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. The Yulbrenner gets murdered like 3 times for each one of these guys one time.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Well, he comes back though.
Well, yeah. they fix him and they put him back.
And then they bring him back again in Future World, the sequel, which wasn't directed by Michael Crichton, and I haven't watched yet.
It was not as good.
I've heard that, too. Future World, it's not as good as Westworld.
Exactly.
But we got Yul Brynner.
Hey! See, that's what I heard on Future World. I was thinking about watching it, and I was like, I'll stick with this, because I also went back to watch it. I was like, okay, is this really hold up? Is it going to be what my memory of this was awesome as I was younger? Because you have to question that.
Right.
It's the 70s. And I was like, all right, I'm taking a chance because I'm going to watch the show. Watch it. I'm like, worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah, Yul Brynner is such an amazing actor. He's a way better robot than Arnie ever was as the Terminator.
Yes.
He is so terrifying. Mm. And he just looks like a normal dude. I mean, there's some practical effects toward the end that make him look more like a robot. But through the whole thing, they gave him like some sparkly contact lenses and said, act like a robot. And
yeah, he's really good in it.
Yeah.
Is that on Amazon Prime or is it just on Amazon?
It's not on Prime, unfortunately. Or it might be. I ended up buying it on my Amazon library.
I didn't see it on Prime. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have paid for it since I had Prime. I think HBO might hold on to it right now. Mm. And I could see HBO eventually, you know, like the week before their show releases, go, here it is.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's October 2nd that the series is released, isn't it? The first episode.
It's going to be in October. It's the fall block.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about that show. Yeah,
me too.
You said how many seasons was there?
Well, they're 52. Of course going for their pilot season, so it depends on the success of the season. God, but they have it plotted out for at least 5 seasons. They said that they want to aim for 5 to 6 seasons.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, I don't know how you would get that much because it is very much of, okay, this is how the world works. Okay, we start having problems.
Well, that's the thing.
But they're minor.
I get the vibe from the ads, though, that they may have a little more of like the whole dystopian
world is beyond
the amusement park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just from some of the shots they've shown of like the workings behind the scenes and stuff, that maybe it'll stretch into something more than just the amusement park.
And it does seem like, based on the interviews with Jonathan Nolan, who is the co-creator, he was saying that it's more of a jump start point, like the movie is, and they're going to explore the idea of these sentient beings that have been exploited by their creators, mm-hmm. and they develop a consciousness, an awareness of their exploitation, and then they deal with it, and it's how they adapt culturally to this sort of catalyst.
So it's like Downton Abbey or Upstairs Downstairs.
Exactly.
Except the aristocracy just line up and shoot the servant.
It totally is. It's a sci-fi Downton Abbey. You guys need to watch it. Let your grandmothers join you.
That's the best description of that show ever.
I know.
That
is true.
The other stuff they even had addressed for like being the 70s is they're like, we don't know why these things are getting sick or why they're, you know, getting their colds. Mm. We made machines that made these.
Right.
We actually don't know how these things work.
they're talking about machine learning to design other machines in the 70s. Like Michael Crichton, like I never read any of his books until I listened to, I didn't read this one, but I listened to audiobook. I cheated. Jurassic Park. It is spooky.
Yeah.
How far ahead that dude thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I haven't read any of his recent stuff. Well, I've only read Jurassic Park, but it's like, it is spooky how far ahead that dude thought. And like you see the way he builds plot in Westworld, it is basically tiny Jurassic Park because they have this park, they have safeguards, things go wrong because the safeguards don't work.
Actually, no, nothing can go wrong. And then everything goes wrong.
Exactly.
The Titanic of theme parks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crichton and Philip K. Dick both have this like prescient ability to see how things are going to be in their writings and create something that basically informs how the future is. It's crazy how
I know all the surveillance. I'm like, it's a Scanner Darkly. We live in that world.
Yeah,
that's just the constant surveillance of these hyper technologies. He had a whole
short story about the automated shopping carts that killed people. Mm. It was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, 1984. Your TVs and your devices are watching you. And
The fridge that knows whether you need milk or not.
Yep. And they're judging. And actually, that was the other stuff about the information. Not only are your appliances watching you and all that, but the companies that made these are collecting the information, but they never said they were going to.
That's interesting.
So yeah. There's, you know,
so they're like, we know you never finish your milk.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there's the arguments of, hey, you should, because Kapersky was actually the big ones behind. They're like, no, you guys should actually say that you're taking this information because you never said that. And you're not giving discounts.
That could be really, really valuable information, too. I mean, you could sell that to, like, drink companies and be like, you need to make this in a different size container because nobody ever finishes the last 3 inches of it. And
buy it next time.
Right,
too much. Yeah.
Or sell this type in this area.
Right.
Okay, but I can sell you. I was thinking about this a while ago. Like, you've got those plastic tubes of cream or soap or something like that with the little flip-off cap. And you hold them upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the tooth. I guess some toothpicks are like that. But yeah, I guess toothpaste. But you've got this whole, like, area. My bad.
Yeah. All right. I can go upstairs, grab the toothpaste, bring it down, and show you.
Full disclosure. I never brush my teeth, haven't for years.
They have these tubes for paste and that type of thing.
The dentists don't know the difference. They can't tell if I've been brushing my teeth or not. I've asked them. They say, have you been brushing your teeth? And I'm like, why don't you tell me? And I figured if I should be brushing my teeth, they'd be able to tell that I haven't. They can't.
Well,
so,
they've officially declared flossing gratuitous.
Yeah, I think an artificial intelligence standards would be able to tell.
So yeah. Maybe.
You floss? This is disgusting. I'm going to puke behind my mask.
But
beep.
But they sell you, like, you know, so many ounces of this stuff, and then the packaging is built in such a way that there's a whole bunch left in it by the time you have to buy more, but you just can't get it out of there without, like, cutting apart the package, and nobody wants to cut apart the package. But they can advertise that they put so much of it in there.
That's true.
Right.
But you're not ever going to use that much. So, I mean, probably
the end's so hard, you can't bend it. It just holds
the end
back.
Or, like, the... Yeah,
you just suck on it.
They don't.
Yeah.
you just roll it.
if they made the inside of it just sloped, so it sloped around that, too, then it would be fine. There would be no problem, but they don't do that. And I'm, you know, they figured out the optimal, you know, shape for a soda can that, you know, for storage. Like, you know, there's a whole video on just the engineering of the soda can. Why didn't they make it round? Why didn't they make it, you know, a cube? Why is it a cylinder? And there's lots of really good reasons for that. And
yeah, the shape design is really logical in the cans. It's impressive.
And so, and just the same thing in anything you buy, they thought a lot about what type of container to put in there. And personally,
it's like chips with all their air in there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. People complain that there's so much air in chips, but if they took the air out of chips and you got a bag of stale crumbs,
exactly.
Pissed.
I know.
You know, you just can't win with that one. But so I really think that they're designed in such a way to say, you know, you're getting so much, but you're only going to be able to use like 3/4 of that, and then you're going to come out and buy some more.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That just irritated. I was thinking about that in depth. I walk a lot lately.
Ted, I Pokemon cut my Go. Tube
so,
open.
So I'm the only one that sucks on the toothpaste tube then.
I'm a roller.
That's disgusting, but brilliant life.
Yeah, that is good.
I think rolling's a given. Who doesn't roll their toothpaste?
I don't.
Those people that buy those weird squeezy things that you put on the end and just roll it down. Yeah.
I just grab the edge and start.
Bill, that's what Ted's talking about, though. Even with the rolling, you can't get all of it out of there.
Yeah, that's why you cut it open.
Oh, okay.
Jordan, you don't really cut it
just
open.
Just rub
cut
your toothbrush
you
on the inside.
Yes, I do.
All right. So we'll move on to our sponsor later in the podcast. And then we got one more thing at least. Carmike Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chippewa, Idaho. They have their Stimulus Tuesday. You get cheap movie tickets for their matinees and $2 small popcorn and drinks, and then their bucket of popcorn for refill it for $4.
Stimulus Tuesdays is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And their bucket of popcorn, that the refill bucket thing, that's like the best investment I've ever made in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
It's more valuable than my wife.
Ooh.
$4 buckets of popcorn. We'll like rent a movie at Redbox and swing by the Carmike and get popcorn and take it home.
Done that.
Yeah, it's sweet.
The popcorn does make me a little sick to my stomach if I eat the whole bucket.
that you have to share.
Doesn't really stop me.
That just means you're not adding enough of the butter liquid.
Too much of the butter gets me too.
Well, it's like the size of what, like 2.5 large popcorns?
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's gigantic. Yeah.
It's like larger than my torso. Like,
Ted, don't be an oligarch. You need to share. Distribute to those who don't have any.
Yeah. Let them eat cake.
All right. So next story was back on AI. They're creating movie trailers.
Oh, yeah. I put that on a few weeks ago. Yes. So it's for the movie Morgan, which I didn't see.
Oh, I think that's it.
If they made the trailer I saw, they did a really poor job of it.
Yeah.
That trailer's terrible.
No, it was pretty bad. But what they were saying is that the science behind it was, which, like, I'm with you guys. I hate AI, so I don't care. So I don't care if this fails. But what they were attempting to do was they had a computer watch the entire movie, and then they were analyzing the behaviors and the music and just different variables that kind of gave instances of intensity. And so it kind of strategically knew, because that's what trailers are anyways too. You don't watch a trailer unless it's like a teaser or something too, that's generally like, oh, when the guy's washing his hands, like establishing shots. And in a movie, in a trailer, you're like, Independence Day, and it shows like when Will Smith's taking a pee in the toilet in the first one. So it kind of,
I remember,
like,
that trailer. It was like, I gotta see this.
This makes sense. It all makes sense now. This is Skynet. You exactly. force an AI program to watch terrible movies over and over again.
And then it says, hey,
that's when it
tell
finally
us
snaps.
What are the best 2 minutes of this, and that's what it does. And so it has these spikes, and then that's basically essentially what it did, is that it picked up tension, it picked up other things, and then it pulled it out and then edited this 2 minutes that they felt represented the most intense or kind of the essence of the movie.
That
and then
sounds
that
terrible
was the trailer.
Yeah, and the thing is, it didn't add any of the music. Like, it didn't do the score for it. It didn't, like, create a dialogue for it. You can't say that an AI made that trailer. It picks some freaking shots. Like, that's not impressive to me.
Just pull in somebody that made the movie that already knows which ones are intense.
Exactly.
Well, and they know which ones are going to give away the movie and which ones are going
to
be.
There's people who watch movies. Like, look at Ender's Game. They literally showed the end of the movie the trailer.
But that's okay. It was based on a book that had been around for what, 30, 40, 50 years?
You can't assume people read anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Books, that is a broad assumption. Okay.
Books are something special. You can't spoil books for, like, 100 years.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
When copyright expires.
Commit suicide.
I literally, like, I read Ender's Game after it had been spoiled like 150 times for me, and I'd only heard about the book like 160. So, like, you can't talk about Ender's Game without spoiling it. By the way, it was all real. So,
Ted.
Time travel.
It took place in 1960.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, and Ted, the main thing about that, too, is not because the trailer. I didn't think it was an impressive trailer. It's just that it's another example that the robot is basically identifying human emotions and everything and saying, oh, I can recognize when these people are scared or intense in something. And then it knows that. So it's just more indication that when your robot's watching you, it's like it can pick up on your weaknesses and eventually destroy you.
So this is going to all tie back to those smart fridges where it'll be, you'll walk through the kitchen and it'll be like, you've had a bad day.
Yeah.
Have some ice cream.
Exactly.
Oh, no. It's not
you're
have some ice cream.
Sad.
Have a Coke.
Yeah. It's like, guess what, human? Cheat day.
I know. It's like, are you sad my other system drove your wife off a cliff in the car? Well, guess what? Have some ice cream.
You come home. Oh, geez, fridge. I had the worst day. I got fired from my job for showing up drunk. It's like, I'm sorry, buddy. Hair of the dog that bit you. Clink.
Yeah. Smart fridge loves you, owner.
No, all I is just laziness of people not wanting to do these jobs, and we get what's coming to us. And when you guys want to join me in my Ron Swanson sanctuary, like 20 years from now, then. You know, because I don't get excited about any of this stuff. I just think, like, why? Why do you need a self-driving car? Why do you need a cart that pushes itself?
Okay, I'll tell you why we need a self-driving car. You know how many people die in cars every year?
Yeah, but I have no
and you know how
in
many
systems,
no, well, that's the problem. They already work way better than humans
they don't
do.
They don't have to be
driving
perfect.
With humans. They work, like, it was like 80% better
But the whole
humans.
Thing, even with you as a programmer, is that Is there a program in existence that nobody's ever hacked? And is there a machinery that's never broken down? And
Pong,
I don't see that
the original
ever coming.
Pong has never been hacked because it's not a program.
There, it's solid state.
Yes.
Yeah, there are flaws to the system because there are flaws to everything. But you are being the guy who's like, this electricity thing,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I trust it.
Yeah, you're totally Ludditing
over
here.
I prefer my hand crank vinyl.
So what happens if a guy's driving a semi-truck and has a stroke? Guess what? People die.
Yeah, human systems do break down more often than mechanical systems.
What if someone I don't trust people.
What if the jack next to you, excuse me, sorry, decides
it wasn't me.
That the text that someone sent them was more important than keeping their eyes on the road because they do it all day long and they're really good at it.
That's true.
And they drift over to your line and wipe you out. It's those sort of things aren't going to happen with an AI. Now, someone could hack it, and they probably will, but it's going to be much less likely than the driver error that we already see.
Yeah.
And like the robots in factories, I'm all for that because those aren't jobs that you want people
doing.
Well,
no, I don't care about the robots in there. But like the carts, why do you need that? That's stupid.
Like
why
can't
people
about
push
anything.
Their own cart, though?
No, they can push their own cart. They can't push it back. They're you know incapable. How many times I've walked out to the parking lot? Like, they're literally right next to the cart return. Why did you... Or the people like park out in the middle of nowhere. So, okay, they're getting their steps, whatever. And they leave their cart in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, why did you park out here?
I don't know how I feel about us coming up with ways to make it easier for people to be even lazier, though.
Yeah.
We should be coming up with ways to make people less lazy. Pokemon Go.
Let's have a robot that can solve the toothpaste problem. There's a robot that grabs your toothpaste. It sucks the toothpaste out. And it'll spit it onto your brush for you.
Hello,
that's
robot.
The robot I want.
Hey, hello, robot Brenner, tube sucker.
Yeah. If Yul Brynner would suck on my toothpaste.
Oh, God.
That's not a euphemism. Jesus.
I would give anything to watch that sitcom, or it's just my alcoholic smart fridge and robot Yul Brynner sucking on my toothpaste too and spitting on the brush.
We have a new podcast title.
We have a new podcast. We'll just talk about this TV show. We'll get it kick-started.
Yul Brynner tube
sucker. He sucked so hard he has to spit out the white toothpaste.
Oh, man.
Don't forget your molars. You get stuff stuck back there. Really get in there.
You might want to floss.
But
you
probably
rip things up.
No, it's fine. I'm fine being with the Luddite. Well, I guess answer me this too. How's the transition going to work? Because
how seems
more dangerous if you have a perfect system too. So you have cars that are driving themselves mixed with people who aren't, because that's something that you have to pretty much shift everyone because
I mean, the Google cars are driving on real roads, the other cars are driving on real roads with real people. And like I said, they've already seen way less accidents in those vehicles per miles driving. They've gotten in the wrecks. But there's been no wrecks that they were deemed the fault of by, you know, people investigating the accidents.
What, as far as the AI ones?
The AI cars have not been in as far as my last reading, which was like 2 weeks ago, I read an article about it. Not a single one of them has been deemed at fault for the accident.
Well, there was that Tesla one that we were talking about.
But that wasn't necessary. I mean, that wasn't self-driving.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was it has an autopilot feature that will brake for you and things like that.
Oh, so there's the person looked away from the road and the car didn't stop them.
Yeah, basically the person supposed to be driving
was texting.
And I mean, I don't know that he wasn't paying attention. It seems like the truck that pulled out in front of that Tesla
turned into an intersection. It wasn't like the dude just rear-ended a truck in traffic.
Yeah, no, he went underneath the trailer, I think, and I think it like sheared off the top of it. Like that was kind of a freak accident. Mm-hmm. The person driving the truck that pulled out was at fault. Like there wasn't much that could be done there.
Right. For what's worth, getting back to Joe's original question about the transition, I'm actually going to plug another podcast here. Episode 193, When the Cars Came, from The Dollop by Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds. They actually talked about what happened in early 20th century America when cars started getting on the road.
And it was not nearly as wonderful as you might imagine. And it was terrible because people are used to everything moving 14 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't walk out in front of traffic in the middle of the road, or parents actually actively encouraged their children to play in the road because it was safer to play in the road than other places. So like the car companies and stuff had to start building playgrounds and stuff to get kids out of the street because people were just chilling in the street and cars were coming.
And they also paid governments to make laws and all this stuff because they almost didn't succeed too. So that's, you know, jaywalkers, you know, we've learned this law. It used to be a derogatory term, actually.
Right. Yeah.
So you go,
was a really bad pejorative for a country person.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. So people would walk in the roads and all this.
Really, honestly, I think that this is the first step to flying cars. Because you can't have a whole bunch of AI driving around flying their cars.
I agree with that. You need
to have the AI flying your cars.
Because the thing that I was reading that was interesting about it too is that they talked about the phenomenon where if the traffic is like super intense, you know, in big cities and stuff too, and they say that all of a sudden you can be at a dead halt, and they could say it could be something that someone breaks in front of you, they break, people have their different reaction times,
right.
So that it spills so far back that people back there can be at a dead stop. And so the thing that I can see with the transition is, when there's, because I mean,
it's going to make traffic way better.
How many of these cars exist? Like none. Like even, well, we live in Pocatello, but I would say your chances of even coming across a self-driving car right now is slim to none. So even really saying like, they perfectly work with everyone else. But I'm saying even if we get to a 50-50, if you have these cars that are, because they said the self-driving cars could calculate that wouldn't happen because they can break and understand the distance. But if you have half the cars that have an ability to judge traffic and stuff too in a way, and then you have other half of it that are driving with people and their stupidity and stuff too, it's hard for those cars to kind of say, is this car in front of me? Another self-driving? Going to break in time? Or do I need
know.
To
but
because
that? They talk to each other.
I don't think it'll matter. I don't even think it'll matter. Like, they'll just be able to see, I need to brake here in a few seconds, or I don't need to brake because I've got the space.
Right.
You know, where people will brake prematurely, and that's really what causes it.
Or
like,
not be paying attention.
And that's what causes it.
A big part of what causes traffic problems out here is, well, not out here, but in the world, is people not following the rules, not passing in the right lane, not merging with traffic properly.
People
and
hanging
all these,
out in the left lane.
Right.
Yeah, they don't let people pass.
Or not moving to the left lane when somebody's merging onto the interstate, that kind of thing.
Or just allowing people to merge properly.
Right.
Yeah. Coming,
that
coming down
would solve from, so many problems.
Down the hill, like you've got the intersection coming out, like exit 69 kind of curves around, and then you've got that other street coming down, and they're supposed to go together, and you got two lanes going in the one, and people don't do that ever.
Right.
I just get in the left lane and hope for the best.
I mean, really, the biggest thing about this whole car revolution is that there can't be any half steps. Anything that's like the Tesla one, that's where we run into problems because people get used to the car doing what it's doing and get distracted and start reading or playing on their phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where we run into problems. The ones that drive themselves 100% seem to be far better than the ones that assist your driving.
I mean, if they could have them assist your driving but not tell you about it, that would probably be optimal.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But so you still also this transition, you're never going to get out of this transition, no matter how far, 100 years in the future or whatever, because you have pedestrians and you have bicyclists.
Yeah,
these cars we will never get to the Minority Report style cars driving, you know, entire massive.
Well, you'll still have people who want to just keep their old cars too.
Well, okay, but there's
because that's like they even said that like in Star Trek. Remember, the old beater car, and that's what I see is that they'll still be the car. Like, I'm not a car person, so I don't care. I view it as a mode of transportation. But there will be people who are just like, I want to drive my own car because I like cars.
Unless we end up
in
the
WALL-E
universe where
there's gonna be a robot cop that pulls over a dude in an Oldsmobile and like the robot cop walk over like license registration please. And he's pulled the same guy over because he's the only guy this robot cop ever pulls over. The guy's going to get out and be like, I don't have to blame you. The Constitution says I don't have to pull over. Yeah. And then he burns the Social Security card right in front of the robot. He's like, Harold, we don't need to do this. I know your driver's license number. I just have to. Can you just give it to me?
Yeah.
I've had a long day. Me and Toothpaste Yul Brynner bot are going to go out for drinks later and talk about it. I don't have time for this right now, Harold. I want to get off at 6. Just work with me, Harold.
And Harold's sitting over there. Am I being detained? Am I being detained? I wasn't traveling. I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't have to follow your laws.
Cop-Pot's like, screw this, and just tases him.
What's the other?
The robot cop just gets in Harold's car and runs him over with it. It's like, oh man, there's no AI to protect you, Harold. What am I gonna do? Dunk, dunk.
I don't know how to drive stick.
I also could see like carpool lanes. You have an automated car. You get these lanes.
Yeah,
you don't. You can drive in those lanes.
I'm totally okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
So you could do it one up that, like, you could, for some, like, really wide highways, if you got a self-driving car, you could feasibly get, like, two self-driving car lanes in the space of, like, a single wide lane.
Oh, yeah, you don't need as much because the car's going to be
absolutely 6 inches apart.
Pristinely next to each other.
Yeah.
Because they don't even necessarily need like mirrors or anything either. They got the mirrors fold in like some of the new wacky cars that's like automatically folding mirrors and stuff. So yeah, you could just get like in a little tight lane like that and just stare at the person next to you.
Looking forward to my super public transportation where we all have our evacuated tube.
I know. So yeah.
And I've seen, I can't remember where, but I saw like one that was a self-driving that the seat actually turned around. It might have been like a demo or something like that.
BMW has that.
Yeah. So, and that's great because that's even more protection. You're not going to get as much damage if it's your back. If your back is towards
a baby seat at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're gonna go into the seat instead of into this empty space where all your limbs are going to bounce around and pop out of socket and stuff.
Yeah.
You get one massive airbag for the whole fam in the middle.
Although you'd have to be far enough apart if you're facing each other in the car and there's an accident or your arms would come out and punch your child in the face.
Well, I'm hoping they'll get some of that foam like in Demolition Man.
There you go.
Yeah. You get the airbag doesn't go off and little Susie just goes straight through your chest.
Chest buster.
There's like a pair of legs from your toddler sticking out of your chest cavity.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, at least she won't be an orphan.
Oh. But I wanted her to grow up to be Batman. So when do we get the three shells?
Oh, God. I saw like a diagram of how to use the three shells from Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And they went into like explicit detail for how you use the three shells from Demolition Man to finish up your business.
I don't want to know. Let's just go there.
It's graphic.
It would have to be, and I don't want to know. It's like saying, how do you
build a picture?
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to try to do that before the end of the podcast.
I'm curious. I want to know.
Quick.
Put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Informative and entertaining.
Yes. With that, we should really wrap up the podcast before Alex gets this. So.
Oh, yeah, true. We did go a little long.
Yes. Jordan, famous last words. Go.
Tesla over Edison.
Alex.
Grab and pull.
So,
I'm not actually a Luddite. I have tons of technology.
Chris,
just suck it, Brenner.
Yeah.
Ted, now that you've seen it.
Wait. Okay, you're only afraid of technology because it's smarter than you and better than you, and historically smarter than you and better than you things have been horrible to you, or whatever.
That's right.
All right, I have to, now I've seen the picture, your picture's wrong, because the shells went back onto the wall. They didn't go into the toilet.
That's your last words.